Official employment numbers at U.S. Airlines are starting to fall. The NTSB has recommendations for parachute jump operations. And Spanish newspapers say it was a flap setting that brought down that MD-82. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, September 17th, 2008. The U.S. airline industry slump has finally started showing up in official employment numbers. After 17 consecutive months of increases, the U.S. Bureau of Transportation Statistics announced yesterday scheduled passenger airlines employed 0.8% fewer workers in July than they did in July last year. That's the first decrease in full-time equivalent employee levels since January 2007, and there have been a number of capacity and workforce cuts announced since July. Among network airlines, United, Delta, and Northwest reported fewer employees year-to-year, as did low-cost carriers AirTran and Frontier. Regional carriers SkyWest, ExpressJet, Horizon Air, Mesa, Executive, and PSA Airlines also reported declines. Full-time equivalent employee numbers rose 4.3% at the seven network carriers. That's a trend not likely to continue. The overall numbers were pulled down by the decreases at AirTran and Frontier. You can find more details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The National Transportation Safety Board yesterday released its special report identifying several recurring safety issues with parachute jump operations and recommending improvements in aircraft maintenance and pilot training. If you think the most dangerous part of jumping is after you leave the plane, the NTSB points out that since 1980, 32 fatal accidents claimed the lives of 172 people in airplane accidents unassociated with the actual jumping. The board notes that about 3 million people participate in the sport each year. Acting Chairman Mark V. Rossanker comments, quote, "As this activity increases in popularity, we have to ensure that safe operations are adhered to by all operators. Our recommendations in the areas of maintenance and training will move this industry forward in preventing these types of accidents," unquote. The report was prompted by the investigation of the 2006 crash of a de Havilland Twin Otter in Sullivan, Missouri. The aircraft, operated by Skydive Quantum Leap as a parachute operations flight, crashed after takeoff from Sullivan Regional Airport. The pilot and five jumpers died, and two other parachutists were seriously injured. The board determined the probable cause was the pilot's failure to maintain airspeed following loss of power in the right engine. NTSB has issued recommendations to the FAA and the United States Parachute Association in areas including aircraft maintenance and inspections, pilot initial and recurrent training, examination, FAA oversight, and direct surveillance. The board concluded in the Sullivan investigation that more parachutists might have survived and injuries reduced if more effective restraints had been used. You can find more details at aero-news.net. A number of Spanish newspapers reported yesterday the Span airplane that crashed on takeoff last month in Madrid did not have its flaps properly deployed. There have been no official statements to that effect, and the investigation is ongoing. Citing reports in the Spanish media, BBC News said cockpit tapes recovered from the wreckage show the plane's pilots were not aware the flaps were not deployed because a cockpit alarm failed to sound. The fully loaded MD-82 crashed on takeoff from Barajas International Airport August 20th. All but 18 of the 172 passengers and crew died in the post-impact fire. Witnesses said one of the airliner's two turbofans was on fire as the plane struggled to take off. Those reports have been downplayed by investigators, who have also cautioned against jumping to the conclusion that flaps were to blame. Acting U.S. Air Force Secretary Michael Donnelly is frustrated that after 7 years, there's still no replacement in the pipeline for the service's half-century-old KC-135 aerial tankers. The Associated Press reports Donnelly told the Air Force Association's annual conference Monday the latest failed attempt to award the $35 billion contract was a missed opportunity. Donnelly agreed that a cooling-off period called by Defense Secretary Robert Gates, postponing the third attempt to bid the contract until the next administration takes office in January, was needed. But, he says, the Air Force needs to make its acquisition process more capable of handling complex technological programs and fend off the growing number of protests filed by losing bidders. Quote, "None of us can yet answer the question, where do we go from here? This experience has not been a healthy one for the Air Force or for the Department of Defense, or for the contractors, or for our working relationship with each other or Congress," unquote. General Norton Schwartz, the new Air Force Chief of Staff, told reporters Monday that awarding a new contract will take between 8 months and 4 years, but insisted, quote, it's not dead, unquote. Up next on ANN, China plans its first spacewalk. Boeing says its military technology base is eroding. And the Machinists Union insists it's in the driver's seat. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 17th. I'm Paul Plack. China has chosen three of its taikonauts, all 42 years old, all former fighter pilots in the People's Liberation Army, and all members in good standing of the Communist Party, to man the nation's next space mission, set to launch on September 25th. France's AFP News Service reports a state-run website announced yesterday one of the men will become the first Chinese spacewalker. Colonel Zhai Zhigang will conduct a 40-minute spacewalk during the 68-hour mission and will release a small satellite which can broadcast video of his spacewalk back to Earth. He'll wear a $15 million pressurized spacesuit patterned after a Russian design, with two lifelines supplying oxygen and communications from the Shenzhou 7 spacecraft. The craft will launch from the Jiquan Satellite Launch Center in the desert of northwest China's Gansu province on the evening of September 25th. Zhigang, Liu Boming, and Jing Haipeng will return to land in the grasslands of Inner Mongolia September 28th. China's government is thought to have timed the first spacewalk to closely follow its successful staging of the Olympic Games, providing a showcase for technological progress. While its neighbors worry about the military implications of China's space ambitions, Chinese President Hu Jintao stressed last year, quote, "The development of our nation's outer space exploration is completely for peaceful purposes," unquote. And all those members of the women's gymnastics team, they're all at least 16 years old. Boeing is using the lull in the KCX tanker bidding war to put some subtle pressure on the Pentagon, implying that a loss of the contract to Northrop Grumman and Eads could add to an erosion of Boeing's military technology capability. Reuters reports Daryl Davis, president of Boeing's Advanced Systems Unit, told reporters at the annual Air Force Association meeting on Monday that the company is continuing to fund research and development of new military aircraft, but, quote, "the technology base is eroding for Boeing as we move late into the next decade," unquote. The new millennium has not been kind to Boeing on the military front. In the last few years, Boeing lost the $200 billion Joint Strike Fighter project to Lockheed Martin and a combat UAV contract to Northrop Grumman Corporation, which also won a Navy UAV contract. Production of Boeing's C-17 transport and F-18 fighters are winding down, and Davis agreed with analysts who say Boeing's long-term military competitiveness is in jeopardy, especially if the Air Force delays plans to develop a new bomber and a possible sixth-generation fighter. He added that a move by the Pentagon toward more testing of prototypes before awarding production contracts may boost competition, but, quote, "Boeing can't fund everything on its own. We're not talking about a small amount of money," unquote. One bright spot is the success of the V-22 tiltrotor, developed jointly by Boeing and Textron's Bell Helicopter Division. Boeing VP Gene Cunningham, who's head of the V-22 program, says the last six aircraft were actually delivered ahead of schedule, and an increase in the number of CV-22s ordered by the Air Force is driving increased investment in Bell Boeing facilities. In a time of economic concern and mass layoffs at several airlines and manufacturers, is this really the best time for the International Association of Machinists to be striking Boeing? The union says, in a word, yes. IAM representatives tell the Associated Press the union is prepared to go the distance in forcing Boeing to sweeten its previous contract offers. Union President Tom Buffenbarger says Boeing's record $4.1 billion profit last year means the plane maker can afford to reward the people who assemble its planes. Mark Blondin, the chief negotiator for the IAM against Boeing, says other unions are watching the IAM strike for pointers on how to take a hard line. And most are supportive, especially of efforts to stop Boeing from outsourcing production. Blondin says of the IAM strike, quote, "It's going to help everybody in this community, if not the country," unquote. Richard Abulafia, an aerospace analyst for the Teal Group, says the specialized nature of the work machinists perform for Boeing makes them essential and hard to replace. Quote, "This is America's last successful major heavy industry. As a result, the workers have a lot more power, and they're taking advantage of that power," unquote. University of Maryland International Business professor Peter Morici points out that there might be a reason it's the last American heavy industry. Quote, "This is a good example of why manufacturing is leaving the country. This is like the UAW in the 50s, unquote. The Light Helicopter Turbine Engine Company, or LH Tech, a 50-50 joint venture between Honeywell and Rolls-Royce, has achieved European Aviation Safety Agency type certification for the CTS-800-4N engine that will power the UK's Future Lynx helicopter fleet. The UK Ministry of Defense has ordered 70 of the twin-engine tactical and maritime helicopters from Augusta Westland for the Army Air Corps and the Royal Navy. The first engine was delivered to Augusta Westland in April. Ken Roberts, president of the Rolls-Royce helicopter business, says the certification, coming so quickly after the first engine delivery, shows the program has momentum. Quote, "Type certification clears the way for aircraft testing and production deliveries and demonstrates that this engine performs exactly as it was designed to do, which is excellent news for the Future Lynx program," unquote. The Future Lynx is scheduled to enter service in 2011, replacing the current Lynx fleet and offering a cruise speed of 160 knots. The LH Tech CTS-800-4N turboshaft is equipped with FADEC and is the latest member of an engine family which has accumulated over 35,000 flight hours in ranges from 1,360 to 1,700 shaft horsepower. Still ahead, NASA plans a mission to find out what happened to the atmosphere on Mars. United's pilots attack the new higher second bag fee. And AAR gets the job of selling United's old 737s. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, September 17th. I'm Paul Plack. Scientists believe that Mars once had a much more dense atmosphere than it has today, one which supported the existence of liquid water on the surface of the planet. They think a mysterious climate change resulted in the loss of much of that atmosphere. So, in 2006, NASA announced a competition to draw proposals to study the issue. The competition drew 20 proposals, and NASA has now selected one for a spacecraft called the Mars Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution, or MAVEN, which the agency plans to launch late in 2013. The $485 million mission was evaluated to have the best science value and lowest implementation risk of all proposals received. Doug McQuistion, director of NASA's Mars Exploration Program, says, quote, "This mission will provide the first direct measurements ever taken to address key scientific questions about Mars's evolution," unquote. The principal investigator for the mission will be Bruce Joukowsky of the Laboratory for Atmospheric and Space Physics at the University of Colorado at Boulder. The university will receive $6 million to fund mission planning and technology development during the next year. After arriving at Mars in the fall of 2014, MAVEN will study the atmosphere from altitudes ranging from 80 miles to more than 3,800 miles above the surface. The spacecraft's eight science instruments will take measurements during a full Earth year. That's roughly equivalent to half a Martian year. MAVEN may also provide communications relay support for robotic missions. United Airlines' announcement this week that it will double its fee for a second checked bag has provided another opportunity for the pilots' union to take shots at management. Captain Steve Wallach, chairman of the United Chapter of the Airline Pilots Association, observes, quote, "There they go again. The management at United should be trying to improve conditions for passengers, not finding backhanded ways to charge them more. Passengers do not like hidden fees for good reason. It makes them feel like they're getting taken advantage of," unquote. He added that instead of punishing passengers, the airline should try to reduce overhead, rationalize prices and flight schedules, and eliminate excessive perks and bonuses for executives. Reduce overhead costs. Let's see. The biggest one is fuel. Can't do much there. The second biggest airline cost is labor. What would you suggest we do there, Steve? One step United has taken to reduce costs is to stop flying its older, thirstier 737s. AAR Aircraft Sales and Leasing now says it has reached agreement with the airline to resell and provide technical advisory services for those aircraft. AAR will assist United in placing the 737s with operators around the world, with a focus on operators outside the U.S. AAR VP John Johnson explains, quote, "Over the years, AAR has developed a broad network of customers for this aircraft type through our leasing activities, as well as our supply chain, maintenance and engineering services, and support," unquote. The aircraft are available immediately. There's been no comment yet from John Travolta. And finally, if you get bored watching your cat chase the green dot from your laser pointer, don't yield to the temptation to point it at aircraft, please. The Olympian newspaper reports a Washington State Patrol Cessna was flying at about 2,000 feet AGL Saturday evening when Tactical Flight Officer Jonathan Ames noticed a green light flicker off the plane's left side. Both he and the plane's pilot, Trooper Scott Sweeney, quickly took steps to avoid being blinded. Ames then used the plane's camera system to look for the source of the beam, which he says flashed the plane intermittently for about 10 minutes. Ames tracked the beam to a neighborhood near Maytown. The laser stopped flashing when the plane started orbiting the area. Sheriff's deputies later knocked on the door of a 31-year-old man who admitted he was the one shining the laser. He also maintained he waved the light at random and never targeted the plane specifically. He added the beam is not very powerful. Ames is skeptical. Quote, "For that beam to show up in my camera view means they were directly pointing it at us," unquote. He also notes that pilots can be temporarily blinded even by the cheapo office store presentation-grade laser pointers. The State Patrol is investigating, and Thurston County prosecutors may yet charge the man with first-degree unlawful discharge of a laser. That's a federal crime. Hey, I have a question. There's never been one documented case of shampoo being used to blow up an airliner, yet millions of travelers are prohibited from carrying it. The FAA has documented about 900 cases of lasers pointed at cockpits. Couldn't we get a law requiring buyers of laser pointers to get a warning at the checkout counter? It would make me feel a whole lot better about suggesting they throw the key away after they catch them. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, barnstorming the heartland in a DC-3? I'll talk with Dan Grider about his unique cross-country trip this summer. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.